exist. I do think HVAC folks are a little bit more sophisticated.
Professional, sophisticated, yeah.
And I feel like I'm learning stuff from that. I was just talking to people about the stickers, dude. Stickers in homes. Mm-hmm. And I know it's a not longer wait for the call. We're not doing service calls usually.
Right.
But like to own the home. And like people are like, oh, well, fridge magnet. Well, fridge magnet's gone if somebody moves.
Right.
So like how can we own the home? I love a fridge magnet, but if there's like a sticker next to the garage door opener or something like that where it's like this.
I've heard Tommy Mello say that.
Yeah. I think something like that is smart. I think. But sophistication level, as far as going to the events go, like that, I have to go harder right now because I don't have any authority.
Do you think they're more sophisticated because PE's been around in that industry for a lot longer and they've been kind of consolidating and they raised the bar as far as how professional everybody
is? That's part of it. But I think it's also like it's a little bit more technical job. It involves electricity and like it'll blow up if you
don't. True.
There's some of that too. But yes, PE definitely did some stuff.
Yeah, you're touching more customers than us too. Like you're doing service calls. People are here, there. You have to be organized. Like
yeah, and
to do one roof.
That's the difference. That's why I love roofing is because you're not in a home and you don't have to be like, you know, like remodelers. There's a reason we don't work with a lot of remodelers. Well, one, they don't need a bigger lead flow.
Right.
But like, it's also that they get like cats and dogs a little bit. Cause it's like, they're in the house. They like, they get softer. They get like, They get more scared to grow their business because like little touchy things will piss off a customer.
Yeah, dude, and your customer's up close and personal when you're done. Yeah. Like you finish their bathroom and they're standing in the bathroom looking like, oh, that's fucked up. That's fucked up. Yeah. You can't, don't move.
Yeah.
Customer's going to look up at any roof that we do and go, oh, it looks great.
Yeah.
Nothing on tables, right? Yeah. Okay, so I'm trying to think about anything else. It's three times the size, revenue-wise. Like, if you look at the market.
HVAC.
We're talking about $50 billion and, like, $180 billion or something.
Wow.
And we don't know the real true size of roofing, but I have friends in private equity that are assessing that, right?
Uh-huh.
That are like, we think the true size could be more of $100 million because, like, different things with insurance and stuff like that. Or what's possible or the next few years or what they're thinking. They're thinking it's going to go from 50 to 100, I think, or something. Like, I think, but yeah, the private equity stuff, like, is there really going to be consolidation? What I was talking to somebody about the other day is it is good to go look at HVAC and plumbing because that is 10 years ago or like what roofing is in certain ways, like private equity way now. And what I like when I go over and look at it, is that there's still a lot of small businesses and mid-sized businesses.
In HVAC.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, PE's been around, but they're not everybody. There's not total consolidation.
Yeah, there's just 10 companies that got combined 100 times. So, yeah, 1,000 companies became 100 companies, or 10,000 companies became 100 companies. But that doesn't mean 108,000 companies went away.
Right.
Like, that's what we were afraid. That's what I, like, was looking, you know, scared of. Because I don't like working with corporate.
No.
It's boring.
Yeah. I'm going. That's what I'm doing. My plan.
Okay,
100%. Probably
I'll probably figure it out. Like, I will probably sell at some point.
Yeah.
In like 10 years or something.
But when you think about selling, do you think about selling and riding off into the sunset and just doing something completely different?
No, I mean, I think it's 3 years, 5 years.
Yeah.
Like, of like, overlap, but I still like, yes, I do think at that point.
Yeah, I like the idea of selling, and then after sale, you know, I no longer own my business anymore, but I now use their money to grow an even bigger business. That's exciting.
A different roofing,
just buy the roofers, grow my business, and just grow with their money.
How old are you?
31.
See, you're a little younger than me at 31, and it is weird the difference between 31 and 38. Do you have kids?
That's a big difference. No, that's
see,
a big
there's
difference.
A little bit of like, there's something that changes. I know that there's people with kids that are building crazy empires. Obviously, I'm not saying anything like that, but like, in the personal energy by 38, like, do a lot this next 5 years.
Right.
Because like, there is personal energy change. And like, I'm I'm working out. I'm fucking cold plunging. I'm doing whatever. But, like, there's a personal energy change after a certain, like, I think it's, like, 36 for me.
I feel like you can only look 5 years out as far as, like, what you want in the future. Anything over 5 years out, you have no fucking idea what you're going to want, what you're going to be thinking then. So, like, that's how I look at it, 5 years. Mm-hmm. So if I'm to sell my business in 2 years, work with P, grow it as big as I can get it, hang out for a resale, then who knows what I want to do. That's like my immediate future plan. Mm-hmm. And then maybe I'm 38 and I decide I just want to chill and kick it.
Oh my God. I love talking to, it's just so cool to talk to owners that are like 31, 32 and able to do this right now. This is a really good time for
roofing.
It's
fucking crazy, dude.
It's a really good time for roofing. And I didn't understand the motivations of private equity. Like, and now that I kind of do, people have told me, like, explain it to me like I'm seven, like 10 times, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? And my buddy, who's a roofing company owner, is like, okay, so they need to put their money somewhere. Actually, two things that told me this. Mm-hmm. One, a CRM company in the roofing space told mm-hmm. me they're selling to a larger CRM.
Uh-huh.
I won't say which because the news isn't out yet. And the guy said, if once I have 100 million or whatever sitting around, that'll be a liability immediately. $100 million apparently is a liability immediately.
Mm-hmm. So Rilla allows you to listen to, it's an AI in your pocket, listens to the appointment. It's pretty crazy what it can do. It gives a script, gives everything they said, it breaks down some statistics for you.
Analyze talk ratio, interactivity, like how you and I are interacting back and forth, longest modeling, like all
honestly,
those things.
Honestly, this is the shit that I most believe in AI.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Enhancing
you're about to put math and data around something that used to be my magic skill.
So,
and I didn't know that. So like you have to spend it. Somebody has to spend it. And that's what that money
in
is.
In the PE world.
Well, he's just saying in general, like him as a person,
yeah,
he has to spend that money. And people have family offices.
Uh-huh.
People use private equity as a way to spend this money that they have sitting around that mm-hmm. they do not want to be in a bank because it's losing because of inflation or because of taxes. They need to invest it immediately.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people just have enormous amounts of money that they need to spend, and private equity is
And they're supposed to get you double returns as the stock market. So if the stock market's 8 to 10%, PE is supposed to get you 16 to 20%, but it's on like a 5-year time horizon.
Mm-hmm.
So once the PE company collects all the money and they have $1 billion,
they
have to make everybody 16 to 20% within 5 years. So they have to go out and spend the money.
And they do, because for some reason, the exclusivity of this investment opportunity is like, it allows them to get higher returns and the granularity with which they're controlling the investment. So they could go in and say, all right, we need to tweak this. We could consolidate a few people in this market. There's smart people involved that maybe aren't necessarily always involved with stock. Like, and it's usually smaller companies can go quicker. So a $100 million roofing company might not be small to you, but in comparison with the stock market, these are smaller companies. So that's why it beats the stock market.
What gets me excited about it is like a little guy with a little roofing company like me, I was like, you know, on roofs 5 years ago, just working with my hands. Yeah. And now I have an opportunity, like realistic opportunity, to be around like the sophistication, the finance sense, like all the shit that I'm gonna learn, which like you think you're good at business now, you double your business every year, you like think you're pretty good.
Yeah.
But when you get in rooms like that, you really see like that's real business stuff, or real tracking, real finances, real formulas, like real business. So that's what excites me. Right, we're on track to do 18. We did 11 last year. The goal is 20.
I think
we'll hit it. What market?
Yeah.
100% retail.
Oh, like what area of the country?
Florida.
Southeast Coast.
Like West Palm Beach.
What's the closest city?
West Palm.
City. Okay.
We're like 2 hours north of Orlando, Miami.
Nice. And you guys do a lot of marketing.
I mean, I guess we do a lot of marketing. I don't think I'm a great marketer. I guess I am. People tell me I am, but I don't view it that way. I think I'm a really good roofer. And I build a really good team and we have a really strong culture. So then when it comes to presenting your company to the world, I have a really good company that people like. Like people see our videos, they see our team members. Everything they see from us looks good. Like the 5-star reviews, the employee culture, everything looks good. Mm-hmm. So like when we put that out to the world, it works.
So you said you spent $500K last year.
Yeah.
Was that, what percentage of that was revenue was that?
Like right around 4%.
4%?
Yeah.
That's the crazy part. Some people are like, hey, Tim, you spend a lot on events or this. It's like, dude, I'm just growing a company. And in my industry, 10% is a normal amount.
For marketing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
10%. So then I've got to spend it somewhere, and I happen to spend it on events because that's like supporting the industry kind of, you know?
You probably have a lot higher gross margins than roofers, though, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But 3-4%.
Like, what is your gross margin?
30%, which is
yes,
which
have,
is yeah. which is high in my market. We're the most expensive roofer.
Yeah.
But like you need
it's a good yeah because I could get 60 and it's like still healthy.
Weirdly. Right.
And it, like, so that is why essentially like a marketing company, because sometimes people don't respect me, and that's fine, but like we're talking about like if I have a $5 million marketing company, it's kind of like a $10 million. I'm not comparable to you. But one guy from a dude from Rooflink,
mm-hmm.
Badass, has a roofing company, Heritage Construction, uh-huh. Texas. Jake Bryden from Heritage Construction was just telling me that my company, this at the size it was like a $20 million roofing company. Which I don't know if that's true,
right?
But like I think of it as at least double, whatever. You know what I mean? So it's all like when you're talking revenues. This is why talking numbers matters.
Yeah, a lot of roofers are bad with their numbers, and yeah. a lot of roofers, like spending $500,000 on marketing in a year, and we were at $11 million that year, and we spent that. It sounds like a lot, but it's really not a lot.
Yeah,
it's 4% of sales. So, if you were to raise your prices, you know, 1%, and get 1% more gross profit, and we're put that to marketing, it's going to make a big dent in the marketing and what you can do. 1%, you know, 110,000 in the year. That's going to do a lot for your business, but it's not raising your price 1% is not going to do a lot for your closing percentage. Like you're not going to get that many less jobs if you make 1% more on every job, mm-hmm. and take that 1% and put it to marketing, you know?
Yeah, and absolutely. And it's also, yeah, that's something. How can we get our competitors to raise their prices a little bit sometimes? Do you ever have that conversation? Like, cause you're not supposed to technically.
No, because there's so many roofers in my market, it would be impossible.
But, you know, when the young guy comes to you and he's got, like, a fourth of your price or something.
It's crazy.
And he's like, and he comes to you and he says, like, hey, I don't even think I could get more. And you're like, I'm charging 4 times right. more than you, dude. And no offense, but with that price that you've got, you can't offer the level of service that right. you should.
Right.
So you're lowering our reputation.
Yeah.
Really?
In my market, there's too many people to try to make that happen. I just view it as we just have to be the best in all areas. Yeah. Like the customer service, the speed, the communicate. We just have to be the best. We have to market the best. We have to have the best culture. Because my price is never going to come down. We're always going to be high. Like my mm-hmm. sales guys go out there, they're like, this guy got a price for $7,000 cheaper. I'm like, well, we can't win them all, but we're doing roofs every day at the numbers we need to. So just keep chugging.
That's one of the reasons you have to market hard.
Yes.
Because we need a few prospects to blow through because we're not going to compete on price.
Right. I don't try to compete on price. So, yeah, you need a lot of leads. You got to keep every sales rep's calendar booked because the closing percentage is going to go down. If you're charging the money, you need to charge because most roofers don't. You just have to know that.
All right. So talk to me about this $500,000 marketing budget. Break it down for me. What are you spending the most on? Like your top 5 things that you're doing? And then why? What do you think is working the best?
So that's like around $40,000 a month. $20,000 a month goes to mailers, magazine mailers.
Which is unusual.
They work, and if you track your lead gen and you track your sales per lead source and your closing percentage per lead source, you can be comfortable spending $20,000 every 2 weeks mm-hmm. because you know it works. It's mm-hmm. producing your jobs consistently. It's producing your leads, so it works.
What I see is sometimes people will spend $10,000 on mailers and then be like, "Why didn't it work?" But you kind of got to spend a good chunk. I'm saying like 10,000 one time.
Yeah, yeah. No, we do them every 2 weeks consistently for the last 4 years. Like obviously my budget wasn't that high 4 years ago, but we've just, as the business grew, we grow our budget and grow our strategy with the mailers. So that works. I pay an agency $10,000 a month that I really like, a local guy. They're really smart. They actually do more auto dealerships than home services, mm-hmm. but I actually did the guy's roof. We talked a lot. I hired him. That's pay-per-click. Mm-hmm. OTT, so like TV streaming commercials, yep. anyone with a smart TV, we can send them commercials, digital display ads, and Google pay-per-click.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another $10,000 a month.
Yep.
So just between those two, we're at about 30.
Yeah.
And then I fuck around on Facebook and I call
video guy.
Huh?
You got video?
Yeah, so I'm about to get to
Facebook?
That.
Facebook, yeah.
I fuck around on Facebook, and I call it fucking around because Facebook leads are trash. Yeah. But I don't view Facebook as lead gen. I view it as many eyeballs on my business as possible.
Yeah.
So, and it's hard to calculate that because you don't know if a Facebook ad gets 100,000 views in your target area and you didn't get a single person to call you, was it a failure? I don't view it as a failure. I view it as 100,000 people in my area saw my ad, seen my business, is going to see my ad again, and that's all going to add up. And 3 years from now, I think, you know, I'm going to be a household name because I've been showing up on your phone once a week for the last 3 years. And then you see my trucks. Mm-hmm. And then you see one of my guys at the grocery store with my shirt.
And people wonder, like, oh, household name, how do we do that? But, like, if it's 5-10 mile radius.
Yeah.
We can be famous in that area for sure.
Easily. Yeah. It's like the clean trucks. Like, it's just branding.
And a little budget.
Yeah.
And that's pretty fucking, you can get famous in a 5-10 mile radius, and it's big deal.
For sure. And then the content team, because I knew.
I got to shout out 5 mile famous Contractor Dynamics. Joseph, I feel like he's got that trademark, so I got to say.
Yeah, he does.
If I ever say 5 miles or famous or.
We work with him.
Good.
We work with him.
Okay, so you've learned some from them as well.
For sure.
Yeah.
I wanted to build an in-house marketing department, which right now I'm the head of, but I don't always want to be the head of it.
Yeah.
And I felt like I needed help to do that because I didn't know everything. So I paid them. We do weekly calls. Mm-hmm. We go through shit together. It's valuable.
It's good to have a guide.
For sure. Yeah, because if I want to build a marketing department, but I'm not a marketer, how am I going to do that? Mm-hmm. I need to get with marketers.
Yeah. Well, you have the respect of the roofing industry. Obviously, you're at the panel on Win the Storm here.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody said, this dude knows marketing.
Right.
It is really like you learn a lot when you spend a good chunk. I mean, that's a pretty good chunk compared to a lot of roofing companies.
Right.
So when you're spending a lot of money, you kind of learn quick. Like, what have you tried that's failed that you say, like, I spent a good chunk of money on this and I've decided to not
TV.
Yeah.
TV. We spent a lot on TV, and that TV is the same thing. It's like, it's just an awareness, like, blanket. You want a lot of people to see you. It's just so expensive. And I feel like I'm getting more eyeballs on my business with taking that 12 grand a month I was spending on TV and putting it other places. And then like the streaming commercials, most people have smart TVs. So I can serve them up TV commercials on their smart TV for a quarter of the budget as I was paying for TV. We did TV for a little bit though.
Mm. So it's cheaper eyeballs in your area.
Correct.
How can I get these eyeballs of homeowners in my area? And I'm thinking about that. And I also think, like, I wanted to pick your brain on marketing for referrals as well. Because I believe in that. And when you're talking about eyeballs, you're talking about awareness.
Right.
We need more awareness around our business. I think of like a basic commercial as four parts. Problem, solution, differentiation, and call to action. And like, I can walk a person who's trying to make a little commercial, like in 20-second little.
Right.
Because it has to be quick, right? But with non-commercial type stuff, with content marketing, we've got to be useful. So how are you being useful to people more broadly to get those eyeballs? Because if they just saw your commercial over and over and over again, there's something called, what is it? Commercial blindness, or basically content fatigue.
Something fatigue, yeah.
Content fatigue. And that's why people don't do the same commercial for 5 years. That's why Bud Light is not running the Budweiser commercial still, even though it was a hit.
The horses,
mm-hmm. even though it was a hit. Because there's something called content fatigue, and you have to keep on like refreshing the messaging so that it's interesting enough. How do you do that with content in a way to stay in front of people? Like, what are you doing?
It's easy to do it with content. It's easy. First, you need a content team because you're never going to be consistent with it if you're trying to do it on the side or your sales guys are trying to do it on the side. Mm-hmm. And with the content team, the quality is way better. It's easier to watch, you know. So you need a team, 100%. Mm-hmm. Like, I tried to do it on my own for a while, and it would bother me that I wasn't consistent with the content because I knew I needed to be. And then I pulled the trigger and we hired someone. And then we actually just added another person to that, an editor, so we can do even more. So you need a team, and then you just need ideas. And then once you get in the flow of it, the videos come easily. Every one of my sales reps likes making videos, so that helps. Like, if they have a job going on that day, Isla will go down there, meet them, they'll make 4 videos. So now I have every sales rep is making their own videos. So like, as far as volume and staying consistent, it's easy.
So and, you're just like, hey, you got cool shit today?
Yeah, exactly that. Video guy. Exactly that. Hey, Glenn, you got a cool job going on. Let's video.
And that's so good. Like, I love that. Just like, people need to do that. People need to involve more than just the CEO and marketing.
And I've never asked the sales rep and said, hey, do you want to make videos? It's just like kind of like, if you're a new sales rep and you come on, you're like, well, all the sales reps make videos. I guess I got to make videos. Mm-hmm. And you just jump on board, you know? The sales reps are the ones that are talking to customers and getting questions on sales appointments. And those are the ideas you want to put videos out.
Yeah.
You know, people are shopping. They have questions. They ask the sales reps the questions. Mm-hmm. If you make a video answering those questions, you're giving them value. You're providing value.
Are you a Marcus Sheridan fan?
I watched him do a talk at one of Dimitri's conference and I liked him, but I haven't followed him.
Been to a conference before then?
No, online.
Oh, okay. Yeah, basically it's that principle. Like, one, he talks about price more often and like, why are you more expensive? And then, and then he also talks about like, every time there's an objection and like the questions that homeowners have, like make videos, make content. Right.
He actually, you just jogged my memory. The price, putting price on your website. That mm-hmm. was, he. I learned that from him, just mm-hmm. watching him online.
Yeah.
And that's what Roofl, that's what they're here to do. And ever since I put them on my website, you know, you have all these people visiting your website all the time. You don't know who they are.
Some people don't, but.
They may never call you. You're never gonna see them again, but they were on your website.
Yeah.
Well, what's the one question they wanna know when they're shopping for a roofer? How much is this fucking thing gonna cost? If you're the only roofer that can tell them that right then and there in 30 seconds, well, they're going to fill out the form and find out. So ever since putting that little tool on my website, the website conversions have gone up like crazy, like by like 50%.
Love to hear it. So why push into price and market? Do you talk about it in videos ever? Like why do we cost more or anything like
for
that?
For sure. Like we kind of frame it as like all contractors aren't the same. Like there's these guys over here. Maybe we'll tell a horror story. I've read competitors' reviews in videos. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't name them because I don't want to start shit. But I'll read local competitor bad one-star reviews and make a video about it.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
It's like the mean tweets. I was just saying, like, that's a great piece of content.
And,
right?
And some people will give nasty comments like, why would you do this? This is shallow. You don't know. It's like, one, I didn't name them.
Yep.
I'm letting homeowners know that there's horror stories out there that happen all the time. We don't have a single review under 5 stars. So, like, you can't really touch us.
I really wish I would have known about this example yesterday during my talk because I was talking about classy ways to use cortisol.
Uh-huh.
Because that's using cortisol in your marketing. Because I'm talking about using brain chemicals in marketing. And that would be that's people do sometimes, they hate sometimes competitor like stuff, but it's true. Like it's hard to tell the truth and leave out all the bad things about your competitors.
If you're a good guy and you're doing everything the right way and all your customers are always happy, you should be allowed to talk about like the honest shit that goes on in the industry. Yeah. Like, we're a good guy. We have a good service. We'll take care of you. But these guys over here won't. And I got no problem saying that.
You do have to keep it occasional and light, though.
Yeah.
You like, from the brain chemistry standpoint, you don't want to be 100% associated with cortisol. And actually, you want to figure out a way to smooth that over with a little oxytocin if you can at the end of that, which oxytocin is the love hormone. If you can smooth it over with like, also, here's a quick positive review and we love our customers kind of thing, or like, I don't know how to do it. But the point is like, you want more oxytocin.
We don't post too much of that. So that it's important that you said that.
And I think community.
Just here and there. Yeah. But it's funny you said that because lately we've been talking about like how to tell our company story and like more behind the scenes from like an emotional standpoint, like tug on heartstrings a little bit. Like this sales rep wasn't doing great. He was selling shoes at the mall. He had a second job at night trying to take care of his family. Mm-hmm. Started with us. We all cared about bringing him up, teaching him, growing him. And now his life's completely changed. Like, so for that
sales, oxytocin, baby.
For that sales rep,
it feels good.
For that sales rep, we're going to make a video about it, telling the story. And then also we can send follow-up texts to his customers with that video, or he can tell that story in sales appointments if he feels like it's appropriate. So like trying to build a story for every sales rep and then in the company about what we're about.
Yeah.
And then, you know, tug on the heartstrings a little bit.
I as more of them learn about these brain chemicals, I'm like getting excited because I realize it's what strong sales reps do naturally.
Right, exactly.
They are naturals at making connections with human beings and like asking about their family. Mm-hmm. And they're strong with like drawing a connection to community involvement, and they're strong with saying, hey, like, just was at another conference, and it was like, he's talking about, the script is like, Handy, could I tell you something? Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
So I just want you to know that I think what you're doing for your family is really important. I'm proud of you for making this decision for your family.
Right.
And I'm like, I see what you're doing. I think this is a really good decision. I think it's smart that you're getting this taken care of.
Right. Yeah, it's good.
And the one, the agreement of like the, hey, can I tell you something? It's using their name.
Uh-huh.
Hey, can I tell you something?
Slowing down. You yeah, slowed down a little. The yeah, eye contact, yeah, all yeah. of it.
And it's caused the magic moments mm-hmm. or whatever. And it's like, that's kind of, and I didn't do it perfectly. It's from, I got a shout out. Service MVP is on the HVAC side, but like, they do have really good sales training right. over there. By the way, they do have really good sales training.
I've been following Tommy Mello a lot okay. recently. Yeah. And like, he just the way, just hearing him talk and the way he's, how sophisticated he is, he's like inspiring for a roofer.
Yeah. Cause
we said it earlier, roofers are not that sophisticated.
Yeah.
I think the bars is rising every year. Mm-hmm. I think PE coming to roofing will help, but like, it's good to learn from those other mm-hmm. industries. Cause they're like, they're just ahead of us.
Yeah. And I'm noticing that these sales trainers are really good
yeah.
over there. And it's about human connection. It's a little bit of like what we've suffered from on the roofing side. And I have like literally 90% roofing clients, and I'm not like, it's big. I want to be part of the community. I would like literally like it here. So don't kick me out just cause I'm learning things from HVAC, you know? But I'm seeing this like human oriented approach to sales that's
yep.
a little bit elevated, and it's a little bit more, you know, because what we suffer from on roofing is a little bit of like the insurance injection makes our sales weak.
Right.
Because when you can live off that free roof vibe.
Right. We don't sell any free roofs.
No, I know.
So, and it's interesting because like I felt like I fell in the trap that a lot of other roofers do where like, you hire a sales guy, you have him shadow one of your existing guys, you try to teach him, and then you just send them off.
Mm-hmm.
And then like the training kind of stops. So now I'm like backpedaling a little bit, and that's what got me into like, you know, telling an emotional story and like ongoing sales training that happens. I think a lot of roofers just get a guy going, get a rep going, and then just send him out there
mm-hmm.
when he could be twice as better if we trained them,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then I have to look at sales trainer because I was a good sales guy, but just naturally, and I was the owner, so that I don't think
there are great sales trainers in roofing.
Yeah, and I don't think I'm like in the best spot to be this amazing sales trainer, but yeah. you have to train your salespeople,
yeah, yeah.
especially when you're the most expensive roof in town. You better have good salespeople.
Yeah. RoofCon is definitely the best conference I've ever attended, and I've been to several. We go to several every single year.
I bought the tickets. I said we're going.
This year they broke 5,000 tickets, so it's growing bigger and bigger every single year.
If you're not here, I don't know where you're at.
Definitely coming back 2024. See you then.
RoofCon, the number one conference for the roofing and solar community, is coming back to Orlando October 23rd through 25th, 2024. Get your tickets today at roofcon.com.
So I believe, like, I honestly think that's a good topic around the oxytocin and marketing and the community stories and that type of stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, I would strongly urge, and I'd love to hear anything you've done over there that's worked on like community marketing, anything like that.
What do you mean? Like events and stuff? Like,
well, maybe events, but is there anything like charitable stuff that you've done or anything like that?
Yeah,
or
like Christmas time, we'll do like a free roof giveaway.
Mm-hmm.
So like everyone will apply with a story of why they need a new roof and we'll pick somebody. Are you shaking?
I'm just cold.
Are you shivering?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. Can you tell that I'm shivering? I'm like fine, but my fucking shit
is. Yeah. It's cold. So to the viewer, it's a little cold right now. So we got a little bit of.
Yeah, my
sometimes
fucking
like people, I get when I'm cold, like, cause I don't know, it must be a little. Like I like warm temperatures or something, uh-huh. but I get a little cold, and then I'm like in a sales call or something. And somebody thinks I'm nervous. So
uh-huh.
I'm not nervous.
Uh-huh.
I'm capable.
I'm from Florida, man. We don't get cold very often. I got my Florida skin over here.
This is Texas. It should be warm.
But we're north. We're almost. Oh, this is damn near Oklahoma.
Yeah. Texas is like three different states.
Yeah.
You've got the upper, the middle, the lower.
Uh-huh.
It's a different world out here. Yeah, 61 degrees.
What did you?
So I was asking about oxytocin, but I'll now that I know that there's 20 minutes left. Like, is there anything else you want to talk about? Like, what's fun to you right now in your marketing? Why do you like marketing so much?
I do like marketing. It's finding the time to really focus on marketing because I don't have a marketing department or even a marketing manager. Like, that's my position now. So I have to build it into my schedule, like consistent marketing. But I like it. It's fun. Like, you're posting cool videos. You're thinking about, like, the psychology of your customers, the psychology of your market. Like, what's gonna move the needle? Because we're the most expensive roof. So that's something I always have to battle against and have in mind. Like, I need to differentiate the company or we're not going to get sales.
But people will say, like, I don't need to market. And it's like, yeah, you don't need to market because you're so cheap.
Right. You're probably, you're not making any money. You got to be able to grow the business. You got to be able to buy people trucks. You got to be able to market more. Like, you need extra money. And most roofers aren't making money, at least in my market, because I see their numbers. And they're like the same company year after year after year. Like, nobody's like on the rise, I feel, in my area. They're just kind of like the same, where we double every year. So we're like this up and coming like machine that everybody has their eyes on.
That's why I say, like, we go after growth mode roofers.
Yeah.
This is different. Like, if you want to be a $3 million, $5 million, even whatever million dollar company, and you just want to stay there for 20 years, you don't need me.
Right.
You don't need marketing.
Right.
You don't need marketing. You do not need to push on marketing. Don't waste your money. Stay the same. That would probably be, would you say that could go for a $20 million company or a $30 million company? If you wanted to stay the same, could you just like lower your marketing budget?
Can you become a 100% retail company at $20 million with no marketing?
Probably not.
I think whatever marketing you did to get there, if you just never raise it and maintain, it'll maintain.
Like, if you went 4%, and do you think you'll go to, because it keeps on going up, right? Like 4%, do you think you'll go to 30?
We're going to see. It's like a game you play. Like, you know, the sales grow, you increase your budget, and I try to stay between 3 and 5%. That's like kind of my sweet spot. If I want to give like a quick surge, maybe I take a risk and, you know, bump it by 20 grand a month and see what happens. But it's been linear. So sales grow, marketing grows, and it's been like this. And I think that's because we get so many referrals, and like referrals are free. We do a really good job. We are the best service in town. Like, we have nothing but 5-star reviews. We get tons of referrals. So like spending $500,000 on marketing, but my number one lead source is still referrals, which are free. I think that helps it grow linear. I'm not using big marketing bursts to grow. It's just like steady growth because we're a good company, you know?
I think that's what I like about you, dude. It's because, like you said, you're spending 4% on marketing, but the biggest lead source is referrals.
For sure.
That's it. That's why I like you.
For sure.
And that's what it should be.
Yeah.
You know, I see some companies that, like, and I'm not saying a client, but let's say somebody that's rough to their customers and they don't give a 5-star experience.
You have to market your ass off because you're not getting any referrals.
Yeah.
For sure.
So how do you do that? Talk to me about how you get more referrals from every lead.
You got to be the best roofer in town. People have to love you. Like, you have to create a raving fan out of your roof customer, which if you're a good person, your reps care, you can do that. It's really easy to do that. Like, on the come up, when I was building the business, I was the only employee in the company. I dealt with every single homeowner. I was on the job from 6 a.m. till 6 o'clock at night. It's like, obviously they're going to love me when we got done. Like, oh my God, this kid's amazing. And I just have reps that kind of do the same thing. So then now all our reviews, like, Monica was great, Matt was this, Rick was this. Like, we create fans, and like, people like us because we're good people. And people like to help people out. So if a person we did a roof for, here, someone needs a roof, oh, you got to call Foxhaven. You got to call Foxhaven. If you get them to follow you on social media, that helps too. Because if you do someone's roof and you're in and out in 2 days, say, 3 years from now, you're not really going to be top of mind. Because, like, if, you know, you did your roof 3 years ago, you're not really thinking about us. But if you follow us on social media and we pop up on your feed as a past customer, we're always in your head, always. So you're never going to forget us. So the social media helps with that too, you know?
Absolutely. I'm trying to think of it, since it's a little chilly right now, I'm trying to think of it as like a cold plunge. Like, I'm in a cold plunge and I can calm my nerves on it.
My legs are shaking.
Yeah. That's what I'm
trying
to think.
It's crazy because I'm from Philly where actually used to get cold, but I've been in Florida 8 years now, so I can't.
But I'm like in a cold plunge right now. You know how, like, do you, when you're in a cold plunge, because you do cold plunges, you said you do them every morning?
Every morning.
Like, when I'm in there, I'm like, if you shake, it makes it colder.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Any movement. If you move your hand, because like the layer of skin, the layer of whatever that like your skin puts on to keep you warm, if you move your hand like this, it's gone. And like then your hand feels like you're on fire. So I just sit there and try to breathe through my nose. But sometimes you got to go like you got to breathe out of your mouth because it's too cold.
I think content, one of the reasons people like making content with cold plunges, like you're experiencing probably even from this a little bit of cortisol related to the coldness.
Uh-huh.
And I like content with different brain chemicals. Like what's the hot ones? Hot ones, the, you know, spicy. So there's endorphins and there's serotonin that comes from when you're eating spicy foods. Mm-hmm. So content is interesting when there's spiciness too.
Interesting.
And that's why, I think that's partly why they say spicy content, because there's like, there are chemicals related to that. It's capsaicin, right? The spiciness in hot foods. So I think that's why those pieces of content are interesting with cold and with like spicy foods.
Uh-huh.
We're talking about sour yesterday during our talk. Sour has dopamine. It releases dopamine in the brain. So there's
when you eat something sour?
Yeah.
I'm not a sour guy.
And it also, yeah, so there's endorphins and dopamine from sour. So there's just an interesting, there's interesting stuff with different content. And it will make you, there's a little bit of, cortisol is related to fear. Sorry, I'm just like all interested in this.
He's all in on the brain chemicals.
I'm all in
right
on
now.
The brain chemicals. I'm finding, I'm finding what's interesting about it. Uh-huh. And maybe that part isn't, but nonetheless, for you, that's those just, things are interesting on content.
That shit's powerful for marketing, though, like brain chemistry. And like, I think about it as psychology of the customer, psychology of the market. Like, not only how do we be the most seen roofer and the most famous roofer, but like, how do we tug on their heartstrings? How do we differentiate ourselves? Like, make them have an emotional tie to our company.
And that's it.
That's stories. Like, we have a lot of cool stories. A lot of people in roofing have cool stories because it's roofing. Like, fucked up past, found roofing, became, you know, grew as a person, changed your life in roofing. We have a lot of those stories in our company, so I feel like we need to tell them more.
That's it. That's oxytocin, to bring the chemicals thing, like, around.
Right.
Oxytocin, I think it is the powerful chemical. So, like, the more you can make people feel, what do you say? They don't remember what you said. They don't remember even half the time what you did, but they remember how you made them feel.
Right. Right.
And if you can make them feel good, even with a story, even with, if you know how to make those magic moments and create serotonin and oxytocin, if you know how to like make them like feel taken care of. So mm-hmm. like, even if you don't have a crazy story, if you just cared about their family a little bit, mm-hmm. remembered their kid's name, oxytocin.
Dude, I have a rep named Monica. She's a woman. She's from the Czech Republic. She's got a thick accent. Her customers love her. And I mean love her. Like, hugs after the roof's done. Like, they stay in contact. They, like, become friends. I've never seen anything like it in roofing. And all it is she's just, like, a warm person and genuinely cares. Mm-hmm. And, like, we'll go to her first sales appointment and stay there for 2.5 hours with the homeowner just to talk and hang out and like bond with them. Like, the relationship she builds with her customers is like unlike anybody else. And she gets the most referrals. She gets the most 5-star reviews. She sells at high margins because people just, they love her. She builds an emotional connection with every customer she gets.
What's confusing to people is you can sell a million or two. Sometimes you can sell a million and not know how to do that. So people get confused, like people get baller mode, you know what I mean? And they're like, they don't do the intimate kind stuff.
Yeah,
dude. And like, she's probably not like that, right? She's not like acting like she's like above people.
No, definitely not. She's like genuinely cares about the customers. And if you're thinking about having a career as a rep, you need the referrals to come around. Like, yeah, the company will give you leads. Like, I give my people leads, but your referrals, you know, they feed you too.
And they close at a higher rate.
Exactly. And they grow exponentially, the referrals, because you're doing roofs constantly. So, like, as time goes on, your net of people you've done roofs for gets bigger and bigger and bigger. So if you're a sales rep that's been getting 5-star reviews for 3 years, you're going to be crushing it pretty much the rest of your career because you build up a referral base if you're doing it the right way, you know?
If you're warming people up.
Yeah.
And I think, like, I honestly think most sales reps do this naturally. So it's trying to figure out how can we create that, I gotta stop saying chemical, but create that vibe at scale?
Yeah.
Like, how can we create that towards this company?
Mm-hmm.
I think if we can figure that out, word spreads. We talk about word of mouth marketing.
Mm-hmm.
So much what you do, it's not just about the Facebook eyeballs there. Even it's not even just that eyeball. If you can get somebody to refer you from that,
mm-hmm.
it's eyeballs plus word of mouth.
Right.
That's what people don't realize. Like if you do, that's why all attention is not good attention, because I'll tell you what, if I see somebody that it's annoying, well, I guess maybe I might talk about it, but I'm not going to talk about it in a positive way.
Mm-hmm.
But if I see somebody that did like has a story, their sales reps, their like redemption story, I might tell somebody about that. Like, this is crazy. I saw this.
Right.
And like they went and worked for Foxhaven and now this is happening. Always loud birds in Texas. Why? Somebody from Texas, comment below. Why do you guys have such loud birds? Do you guys have loud birds in Florida?
Do we?
Okay. Okay, yeah, yeah. You guys are like the Australia of the South, I feel like.
What, Florida?
Yeah.
It's the best, man. It's the best. I love it.
But be honest. Huh. I saw one of your guys. I saw one of your buds carrying an alligator on his back down there. Did you see that?
Yeah. Yeah, he's hard as nails.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, like, so you guys are just...
Dude, you don't see that many alligators. Like, people think that... How many alligators have you seen in the last year?
In every body of water in Florida,
they're there. But, like, are you walking by them?
You guys are just carrying them around back there. Yeah, I know what you guys are doing down there.
Every once in a while, they'll snatch somebody, though. You'll hear a story. You're like, holy shit. Uh-huh.
You guys got a couple alligators in every body of water, apparently.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And I think that makes you guys a little bit more like just on head on a swivel, I think.
Maybe. What else you got? We good?
I want to keep on making fun of Floridans. Come on.
Yeah, you're killing me, dude.
Yeah. what else about Florida? He's like, I'm out. This podcast is done.
Dude, I don't want to insult.
If you go after Floridans.
I don't want to insult. I'm not even a Floridian. I'm a Philly guy. So one thing I do notice, though, is that this is a major generalization.
Yeah.
But a lot of times people that are born and raised in Florida, they're a little slower. They're more relaxed.
Yeah.
So when it comes to, like, contracting businesses,
that,
like, Northeast high-speed energy I have and, like, fast-paced energy, like, customers have always said they like that. Like, I can't get this guy to call me back. You answer your phone in one ring every time. If I need something done, you send it right away. And everyone else is just more relaxed.
Mm.
Florida living. Fishing. Hanging. You know?
I like that. It's contrast.
I brought, like, a city speed down to Florida, and I think it's helped with my reputation because we're fast.
It's like my buddy from Texas who came up to Minnesota who killed it with the women. They like the accent.
Right.
And they like the little bit of change of speed.
Yeah. Yeah. Something different.
Okay. So we'll wrap this up. Podcast is put on by hookagency.com. Hook Agency all over social. Where can people check you out?
Foxhaven Roofing and then the Andy Keys for all my personal stuff. We're getting into all the personal content.
Good.
Behind the scenes business stuff for young guys coming up. Young guys are reaching out with questions, asking for help. So it seems to be providing value.
Awesome. Thank you for being on the podcast. And we'll tag that and collaborate. Hey guys, if you're not doing Instagram collaboration posts, you should be. Collaborate with each other. Collaborate with the owner. Collaborate with your salespeople on Instagram. There's just more views.
Right.
It's a good move. You guys doing that?
Yeah, with our salespeople, but like with you, we'll.
Yeah, collab posts.
Yeah, she's good with all that.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Peace.
Nice to do one live, dude.
Yes, sir. That's way better.